listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, my guest and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Our topic today is the new model in charter schools. My guest today is former NFL linebacker Marvin Smith, who's been tackling bigger problems than NFL running backs. He's tackling educational poverty, and our children are reaping the benefits of his labor. Marvin is the co-founder and executive director of Micro Enterprise Charter Academy in Long Beach, California, known as MECCA. He is a behavioral specialist and social entrepreneur who is fulfilling his purpose and destiny while on a mission to see young people reach their maximum potential. Marvin holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in organizational management and leadership, and has reached the highest level of certification in emotional intelligence. Marvin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and it's great to have you. It's great to have you back. And for those that don't know, Marvin has been here and goes way, way back with us. Marvin and I go back about 25 years, and I got to tell you, this is one of the people out there that has dedicated their life to educating our next generation. And got to tell you, Marvin, I have just been so proud of you. I always appreciate what it is that you're doing.
Well, Alan, I thank you for that. But did you have to go back and say 25 years? Just, I think you're dating yourself.
No, I think I'm dating both of us, actually. Well, we have about 50 minutes to do this, and I know it's a great topic. We've had some questions that have come in, you know, that have been emailed into us, that I know those people want us to ask those. But I think one of the things I want to do is make sure that you let our listeners know, really, I mean, what is a charter school and what makes it different from the traditional public school? And before you answer that, I want to tell you that I've talked to a few people about it. And I've had people that have asked me, and they've asked me what a charter school was, and I said, well, what do you think it is? Somebody said they thought that it was a private school, like a Catholic school. Somebody else said they thought it was continuation school. So kind of dispel some of those things and tell us what specifically a charter school is and why it's so important.
Well, a charter school is basically, it's a public school. It's funded through the state and federal funds. But what is unique about a charter school is that you have the ability to be innovative in your instructional design. You have the ability to have I call it a tailored program. Most charter schools are not large, they're small, and what I like is the fact that when you can tailor your design in educating students and trying not to just look at the academia, but most charter schools have a theme. And it's like, in an essence, it's like a private school. It's like a magnet school, but I call it a hybrid.
Right. Now, give us an example of a theme.
A theme like our school is Micro Enterprise Charter Academy, which is basically small business concept. So part of that is looking at the kids that we're serving, is introducing small business, utilizing, you know, one of the big issues, especially if we look in the in underrepresented communities, is, and it's something that's going on at a national level, is the whole area of STEMs, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And as you may know, or you might have heard, even coming from the Obama administration, we are failing miserably in those core subjects. So taking a subject matter like microenterprise and then encoding the hard subjects into that, basically what you do, you design something that becomes fun. And I look at, you know, for what we're doing at MECCA, we call it, it's designing education for today's minds and tomorrow's opportunities.
Well, and I know that, for instance, you have computers there. And I have one child who's in public school. I have one who's in private school. I can recognize some of the differences of what they have available to them. Talk about some of the things. I know that having toured your school, you guys have computers. How did you get computers for your school?
we got computers. We paid for them. Well, no, it's part of the model. One thing is education by design. So before we even opened the doors, we looked at, there's a term we call an education or even an engineering called back mapping. It's kind of like, what's the end goal? And you bring your back map to the present. So we look at, where do we want our kids when they leave our organization, when they leave our school, what do we want, what skill sets do we want them to have? So in doing that, technology, if we're talking about the 21st century, you gotta have technology. I mean, it's and another thing about technology, it helps equal the playing field. You know, some kids determine on, and unfortunately, when you're looking at underrepresented communities, it's poverty doesn't have a color,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately, zip codes do. Yeah. And it's about economics. So to me, was having a program that we could deliver a quality designed education that all kids, because realistically, public education was meant by law that every kid in America would have a high quality education.
Exactly. And it's not happening.
It's not happening. unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately.
And again, when I mentioned the thing like computers and stuff, is that I think where I was going with it is that, I mean, I think that you, you know, you exercise some of your own power to help get, you know, more computers. And,
yes.
You know, and I mean, you're being kind of modest and stuff, but I know
yes.
that, you know, you exercised a lot of effort and some of, you know, calling in a lot of favors to get major corporations to either reduce the price or set up some sort of a program where you could get enough for everybody, not just a few. It's not a situation to where there's one in each class and each child in the class takes their turn. You know,
like a lot of schools.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's
yes.
what I've seen in some of the public schools that we've gone into.
Well, in answering that, I mean, part of it is utilizing my position as the executive director and co-founder, and then looking at having a background in corporate America myself, and then playing professional ball, I try to leverage my resources. That it's a great cause, and so I've been able to go out, deal with Apple computers, deal with other resources, and basically right now we're 2-to-1 laptops. We're a wireless campus. Even on top of that, I had an associate, a friend who was a president of another corporation, and even our furniture doesn't look like the traditional school. It's, you know, all our tables are there's no. It's kind of ironic, which I just heard this lately from a student. You know the reason why they have, if you look at the traditional classroom,
mm-hmm.
and they have all these rows of desks,
right.
and individual desks, they did it that way so the janitor can actually mop the floor more efficiently.
That was their purpose.
That's what they call it. To get in and out of the rows. I mean, you know. So anyway, when you start to hear things like this, you just chuckle. But, you know, our furniture is, you know, if we're looking at design, education by design, if you're looking at small group, large group, you're looking at directed learning versus self-directed learning. So when you have a classroom, one thing that we're trying to teach our kids is that learning is not limited to a classroom. It's not a place that you go. Learning is lifelong. Learning is in your mind. Anywhere you go, you can learn. So what happens, as our instructors, what they try to do is utilize the classroom as that model. Today, we're doing this. They can, in a matter of minutes, they can transform the class, the learning environment, I don't even say classroom, the learning environment that's conducive to try to maximize the efforts of cognitively what's going to sustain in a kid's brain.
Well, let's start with your school. And give me some statistics. I mean, I know now that you've been there for a little while. Let's talk about, you know, kind of where that particular neighborhood or where the particular schools that were in that area were at as far as educationally or scholastically, and where are they at now? What are some of the things, the growth models that we can point out to?
Well, one thing I could say about us, Micro Enterprise Charter Academy, we came into an area of North Long Beach I call it the gap. Long Beach is a city of about 500,000 folks, so it's not a small city. And Long Beach School, Long Beach Unified, they do a fairly relatively great job in educating students. They do some things that are unique as far as how they address, I call it open enrollment, so kids are not bound by their particular zip code to go to the local school. They can apply to other schools. But unfortunately, in a model like that, there's only so many slots at a school in a particular area.
Right.
So if it's a great school and you're a kid and you're not in a different area of the city, you can apply, but it doesn't mean you're going to get in.
Right.
So that, and then right on the border of Paramount Unified, and then you have Compton. We're right there, and I call it right in a zone, a triad of just probably some of the worst education. If we're talking about statistics, if we're talking about the API scores and the API and looking at all the what everybody looks at, you know, the area we're at probably has some of the worst scores. Now, us, over the last 2 years, we started as a middle school by design. The goal is to be a K-12. So this year we had our first promoting class of 8th graders going on to 9th grade, which now we have to, how would I put it? We have to expand our model, which by design, to go into high school. And then by design, we're looking at a 4th and 5th grade because we need a pipeline for that success in education, especially when you're doing something innovative. And saying that, our first year, our API scores came in about 650. Not great, but it's not horrible.
Okay. Now, and for those that may not understand that, compare that to maybe what that area was scoring prior to this or the other schools in and around it.
Well, let me say this. Some of the kids, the majority of the kids that, unfortunately, we got our first year, were kids that others didn't want.
Right.
So it's not like they were rocket scientists that we were just picking up and say, here's the best students. No, we had some of the worst students in the area. And to come out the first year at a 650, and basically at the state level, they want you to have an 800. Once you hit an 800, you know, that's your mark there. You know, that's good. Other than that, they call it program progress performance.
Right.
So they want you every year to keep increasing till you hit that 800 mark. So I've talked to, one of the things, there's four middle schools in the area that we're in the middle of. Mm-hmm. In our first year, we fared better than two of the four. And I think this year we will fare better than all of the four. I'm very confident in that.
Right. And I know that there's also some things that I looked up, and I know that the dropout rate is much less in that area now since you have gotten there, because I looked at some of the rates a couple of years ago, and that area had one of the highest dropout rates in California.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I believe our approach is about community. It's not just about education. I mean, you got to look at the social emotional. I mean, if you're looking at people that are impoverished, I mean, there's stress, there's high level chronic stress, there's a lot of other factors that you have to factor in. And if we're just pressing, you know, academics, well, if Johnny didn't eat this morning, how is he going to perform at the best anyway? If Johnny's parents were arguing and fighting, or if there's a shooting down, I mean, we've got to factor in all these other issues.
Right. And which then also, when you have, you know, a high dropout rate, you have a higher crime rate.
Yes.
You know, and which you have a higher crime rate. Now you have people who are moving out of an area because of the higher crime rate. You know, so you have this continuing, you know, domino effect that happens. And what I see with you guys going into that area is it's reversing that.
Yes. Well, and I think our model is, you know, I even look at, there was this saying or this mindset that, especially if you were minority, you know, you get some education, you move up, you move out. But the reality is you move up, you stay there, and you redesign, you redevelop, and make where you're at a high-quality environment.
Exactly.
You know, so if you take out the mind, I always say this, Alan, if you take the mind trust, if you take out the core trust of the leaders and you displace them, who's there to lead?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to continue to have this cycle of impoverishedness. And I don't know. I just believe I'm an idealist that there you can make change in communities, and it is being done. I mean, we're looking at charter schools. I call it the charter school movement. Charter schools are having an impact. And I also believe that it's not the public school system against charter schools.
Well, of course not.
Well, but unfortunately, that's what's going on out there. It's not either or. It's we have to coexist that we could have the highest standards of education, that we can change our communities, that we can change and continue to make America one of the best places to live in this world.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, and I'll quote John Maxwell. And one of the things that he promotes, which is the same thing that you're saying, is that if you can have them coexist, and if you can have people to where you focus on what people are best at, if you can focus on that as opposed to taking a situation and saying, okay, well, we're just going to put everybody in this one category and let them focus on something, let them, whatever it is that is their highest level, let them focus on that, let them continue to achieve at that highest level. And he made a comment in regards to himself where he said that in being in a school environment that his weakest point was math. And yet he enjoyed history, he enjoyed English, he enjoyed science and all of these things, but math was not his strength. And they wanted to keep saying, now we're going to put you over here in this area with all the people that can't do math, and we're going to make you focus on it. And what I think I see coming out of charter schools and yourself is that if somebody is great at one thing, let them focus on that. And his thing was, you know what, I figured eventually I'd make money and hire somebody else to count my money, you know?
Yes.
So I think that charter schools bring that out to where you can focus on strengths.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's what I see you doing at Mecca, and that's what I see a lot of charter schools doing. We're going to bring kids in here. We're going to focus on their strength, which really makes them want to love education anyway if you're focusing on your strength.
Yes. Oh, and one of the things that, like I say, everything we do is by design. It's not, you know, happenstack or haphazard. I'm a research guy, and I've got a lot of great wise counsel around me. You know, my wife and I founded the school, but I'm very resourceful. And one thing I realized, and I look at my own background and studies, is that all the studies show that if you look at even at the corporate level, all those prolific CEOs, they found out what they were good at, and they managed their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I believe in a school, if you can start to get to the heart of the matter, which is the heart of the kid, mm-hmm. you find their strengths, you accentuate strengths. And if, you know, Johnny may not never be a rocket scientist, so why are we hammering math? All Johnny needs are the basics. And it's like anything else, self-esteem. And a lot of times if you're dealing in underserved communities, when a kid's been beat down, they don't feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. Their self-esteem is low. So if you accentuate that, all of a sudden, and this is what I've watched over the years now, I see these kids, all of a sudden, they just light up. And it's like, I can do this. I'm good at this. And you see them start to excel in the areas that they never liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think it's coming back to two, is just really looking at education by design. I mean, and it's looking at, you know, it's not one shoe doesn't fit all. And so that's what I like about really looking at kids. You assess them and see where they're at. You find their strengths, you know, and then you put content around that.
Yep. Well, now let me do, okay, we've had some questions that were emailed in. So let me make sure that I get to those, because I always want to tell people we appreciate those questions that
yes.
you email in. If you're going to take the time to do that, I'm always going to take the time to get these questions to our guest. So one of the questions says, we have several charter schools in our area of Colorado, and the parents tell me that allowed a great deal more involvement that they ever had when their kids were either in public or private school. Is that a typical practice in most charter school models?
Well, for what I know of, yes. I mean, you want parent involvement. I mean, it's you're talking about family.
Mm-hmm.
And the more a parent can be involved in the well-being of that child, you're going to see great results.
All right. We've got a call coming in now. So let me see how I can take care of this. Hi. You're on with Answers for the Family, and our guest is Marvin Smith.
Good morning to you. I'm just calling to voice an opinion regarding what I'm hearing on the aspect of this emotional intelligence and brain-based learning as compared to what is being delivered in our public schools today.
Well, share with us.
My comment on that.
Please do.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we've known for quite a long time, even since dating back to Plato, that learning really doesn't begin until the emotions are quieted. And I think there's a great deal of consideration that needs to be given and understood in the community that the school is reaching out to, that these kids come in with all kinds of emotions. And these aren't the emotions that are positive. They're the stress, the negative stressors. And when you deal with that aspect of feelings, I think that it's a super positive approach, because within feelings is information. And when you can start to consider the information of what your feelings are telling you, then you can engage that cortical or that thinking part of your brain, which allows you then to make more optimal or better choices, better decisions, and adjust. And I think this is a real powerful approach that Mr. Smith is taking. Somebody once said, I don't know who it was, but it was, the intellect without emotion is like a jockey without the horse. And so the emotions can kind of guide us in a manner of speaking, if we learn how to use them. And in society, we tend not to even teach that to the we learn it, I should say, more by trial and error rather than an overt attempt to teach it. So hands off and kudos to what's going on at Mecca under Mr. Smith's tutorage.
Marvin? Well, thank you for the great overview of education by design at Micro Enterprise Charter Academy. You're right. As we say, emotions drive people, but people drive performance. And if a person's not at their best, how can they drive performance at their best? And I always like to use the analogy, I always talk about the brain science. I even sit down and we talk to the kids about how the brain works. And I think when they start to see this operational model of what's going on inside their head and how we become emotionally hijacked, and it's a small part of the brain that then that overtakes the whole body and being, and we're not functioning well. I look at all high-performing organizations, high-performing teams, and even for the Lakers to win the world championship this year, and the adversity that they had to overcome. But there was this part about there's something supernatural or magical that when you can bring a core group of individuals and they can focus on the issues and address the emotions and still have to work through the process, and that's that whole thing about team dynamics. It's only a formula for success. And these are things that I know that we're doing, and I think you kind of summed it up very well.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, my question for both of you is, how do we get this model or these points that you're bringing up into the public school? How do we get them to recognize it to the point of saying, wait a minute, we need our young people to be able to compete in the world economy? This is a world economy now, and we can't have our kids falling further and further behind.
I'll let the caller address. I want to say something real quick.
Okay.
My brief synopsis is that it is so politicized. It is so bureaucratic. It's almost like we've gotten away from kids. And there's bigger struggles at a higher level. And so for me, the attitude is to continue to be an advocate. You know, grassroots, continue to keep growing models, continue to interact with public education, and try the best that we can to infuse the design.
All right. And caller?
Yeah.
Caller, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would have to agree with what Mr. Smith just said, in the sense that it's like that old adage, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time, but you don't get discouraged either. And I think it's with a relationship with public education. It's not with a combative attitude. It's with a relationship. And as we show results in society with this approach that is happening with this Micro Enterprise Charter Academy, I think the results will then drive the ability to make a bigger impact within the public community. I think that's the best way to do it. And I think that the resolve that Mr. Smith has shown in doing this is really what it takes, and that's why it doesn't get done very often, is because it's hard. You're moving against a system, and I think you have to almost get in a dance with the system but not become part of the system. And one way that will keep you apart is with results, and you have to also develop a staff that is bought into it fully. This can't be just a dream from the top. It has to be a bought-in staff that is willing to go that extra mile. as they teach the kids, because there is extra work where you're really becoming a teacher. You're not a paid person that teaches a subject matter. You're a true teacher in that sense, and developing and getting that staff aboard that has that heart is also quite vital.
Right, and I think that plays right into Marvin's analogy when he was referring to the Lakers. You know, if you're going to be a champion, you're going to have put together the entire team, not just you know, we've seen in the past, using the basketball as the analogy, where teams have had maybe the best player, but it wasn't until they had the right team that they actually excelled.
Right.
Absolutely, and I think that analogy fits quite well. When you look at the criticisms that Kobe has taken over the years, that he had to be a scorer, I think this series really showed how he got his emotions in control, in the sense that he saw that he couldn't be a scorer, so he had to contribute in other ways, and he didn't just let that drive him. You know, what he has traditionally found success in wasn't the driver. He adjusted, he adapted, and he moved according to what was going to work better in the moment. And that is a perfect example of the ability to utilize your emotions or your emotional brain with your thinking brain and coming out with wiser choices that end up in this case, a world championship.
And I think in brief, too, in sharing that, even if you looked at Kobe after the game, his whole presence, it's like he entered into this zone of like, I have finally arrived. I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could see it. He was so self, and I didn't have to be the high scorer. I didn't, hey, we did this together.
That's right.
Leadership at its best.
Mm-hmm. So I
totally agree.
I think it's great. Well, caller, we really thank you for, you've added a lot of great stuff to the show. Feel free to call in anytime.
Thank you very kindly, and just kudos again, and great program, and boy, just keep on going, and no discouragement.
Well, thank you for your input, and it's definitely highly valued and very insightful.
Well, I think it's thank you very kindly, and it's about the kids, really. That's the end result. That's the goal, and we keep our eye on the kids. We lose all that. Combative stuff, huh?
That is true. That is true.
That is great.
Thank you.
Have a great week. Bye now.
Thank you very kindly. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I'm going to use this time to tell everybody, feel free to call in. That was a great call. And again, if you're out there and if you're listening, if you're driving, if you want to call in, if you have some questions, feel free to call in. It's 323-203-0815, and we're going to take a break.
And real quick, Alan.
Yes.
When they call in, they got to make sure it's not from a blocked number.
Thank you. yes, and please call in from a non-blocked number. We would appreciate that very much. We'll be back in 1 minute. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back, and we are talking to Marvin Smith, and we are talking about charter schools. Now, one of the things in regards to charter schools, and I've had people ask me as well, and that is, what is the state of funding for charter schools, and especially with our economy the way that it is? Marvin, can you answer that one for me?
Yes, I can. Charter schools are getting hit just like, I mean, they're a public school. And funding is, that's an issue. I mean, if we're being current right now and looking at and listening and reading about school districts are laying off hundreds and thousands of teachers, and California right now, we're in a state of crisis budget-wise. So, and unfortunately, and this is the sad part, our future leaders are the ones being affected the most. And the thing about it, they have no say in the matter. They have no voice. The only voice they have are individuals like us who are the advocates to really keep, you know, pounding the pavement, going to the to Sacramento, and there's organizations that this is what we do. You know, we got funding is needed. And let me sidebar that, maybe table that. Education of the 21st century can no longer be based on the old model.
Right.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't. I believe if we're going to have education at the highest level by design, I call it, it's a hybrid. It's a public-private partnership. Corporate America has to become vested in education. By example, had a partnership with the Obama administration. They just came out with called Summer of Innovation, and focusing on science, technology, and engineering, and math. And it's focused at middle school, underperforming, underrepresented students.
Okay.
And so our school out of Southern California, there were like four schools that were invited, and we were one of the top schools that got invited. So we spent the day at over JPL NASA, and had a chance to meet Charlie Bolden, who was the administrator, I guess the right hand to the president himself for the space program,
right.
A bunch of astronauts, and just to see our kids in that environment. They watched scientists and engineers building big robots,
right,
for Mars. And I'm telling the kids, hey, look, you play with robots. All they do is make big robots, and they get paid good money to do that. All of a sudden, it changed the whole dynamics. I'm sharing that to say corporate America at the private sector and even the non-public or non-profit side of it, like space administration, mm-hmm. we got a partner. And we have to partner, I call it the four T's, got a partner in time, talents, treasures, which is the funding, money,
mm-hmm.
and technology. These are things that corporate America is more readily available to help. And one of the things that America's saying, we don't have the qualified applicants coming into to the hard engineering, to the core jobs here. But we're not. What are we doing at the lower level to create a minefield of bright minds?
Yeah, but it's like anything else. Why are we not setting up the next generation to be able to succeed for that? And if I understand you correctly, the corporations can help by partnering, and it sounds like it wouldn't cost that much, and that same corporation is going to reap the benefits if they're going to stay in the United States.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing, and it's not going to be beneficial for these corporations to go, well, we're not going to continue to help, American kids coming up because we're going to move our corporation to another country. That's short-term thinking.
Well, and I think the other side of that, what has made America, America, is called innovation.
That's right.
Innovative minds. America has had the leading edge for years on design, development. You can send it to Mexico. You can send it to India. You can send to China. They can do the building, the labor. But when it comes to the mindset, America has had that's been their number one kudos of what we do best. But if we don't continue to develop these minds, what does innovation look like in the future? And I'm here to say we have countries, small countries now, if we're looking at education on a global scale, we are far behind. And we have to become very mindful collectively as a country. It's not about certain neighborhoods. It's about all kids getting educated so we can retain the innovative edge. That's what makes us who we are.
Now, what can we do as parents? So, parents, can they, should they, do they need to be contacting their their congressmen and telling them that, we need government to set up tax subsidies for corporations to help promote schools. What can the average person do at this point in time?
Well, I think the average person, what they can do at this time is be supportive. Be supportive at the local level, you know, because everything's that process. Be supportive at the local level. If your kid is involved in a charter school, be active. If your kid is involved in the public, in the traditional public school, be active. Activity is what makes us. Having the right to vote is what changes things. And I think that local level grassroots approach, it does make a difference. And it takes more, for me, it goes back to, we're talking about the Lakers. It's about leadership.
Okay.
You know, those who are going to lead, lead. And those who are not, be part of and continue to work with them to lead. You know, so it's about leadership. And I you know, answering your question, Dallin, because there's so many layers in this, how would I put it? There's so many layers in this system.
Right.
You know, it's and I think as a caller had said, it's like a big elephant. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And it's just looking at, you know, what areas that you can have the biggest impact. You know, for me, I'm going to continue to advocate corporate America. Hey, let's get involved. Let's help design curriculum. We don't have to continue to stick to these certain, we talk about standards. Our kids have to meet state standards. But I'm here to say, by design and by understanding, when corporate America gets involved and they start to help design curriculum, now we're talking about industry standards, not local. We're not talking about localized standards or educational standards, because industry standards are much higher than educational standards.
Right.
Which it makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm not crazy, am I?
No. Okay. Well, let me think about that.
Okay. Some say I am. Sorry.
Yeah. But in a very great way. I mean, yeah, there are some, and I got to tell you, I mean, having known you as long as I have, you know, the quest that you have made, you know, in regards to doing this, and for a lot of people that don't know, I mean, Marvin could very well have taken a very cushy position in probably one of a dozen major corporations and done quite well. But instead, he chose to take the tough fight, and some people would say, that's crazy, you're going to sit there and you're going to fight to have this type of school, and you're going to do it for, it's probably been at least 10 years, you know, of pushing and pushing and pushing. A lot of people would give up, so maybe you got to be a little crazy to keep pushing.
Yes, I guess maybe that's why I was a linebacker, you know, the guys that just continue to keep getting after it, and you know, and you got to get it done. But, you know, on the other hand is, I just believe right now I'm in my element. I believe it's a call. I just, you know, I'm in a sense of being that this is what I'm here for, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't, I mean, I look at my educational background, I look at my, what I've done in the corporate world, and I'm in public education, charter world, designing innovative education, suppose at its highest level, doesn't make sense. But I think, as the caller said, though, it is about the kids.
Right, and you're making a difference. And again, because of what I know of you personally and working with you and seeing you make a difference in one child at a time, and what I saw was this person who said, I can make a difference in many more. I can make a difference in hundreds. I can make a difference in thousands. You know, as this continues to evolve, and as the schools grow and as they expand, so that's what I see is that you took this gift and this calling, where you were helping them one at a time, and decided I'm going to do it on a bigger scale, and that's the part that I love about you.
Yes.
Now we talked a little bit about what the average person can do, the parent, you know, what they can do. What can the person who is a corporate executive? What about the person who maybe runs a mid-level corporation? What can they do in their own community to help?
All right. Here, once again, I say get involved. It's about involvement. It's getting outside of your own self, outside of your own spectrum, and looking at the bigger picture. I look at corporate America. They can help. I mean, funding is needed. When you're doing innovative design in education, it's not a canned program. So you're it's always about designing, involvement. It's like an engineer. You're always at the table, and you're always making adjustments for continuous improvement. You know, you just don't create something and go, we're going to do this for the next 20 years. No, it's always about change. It's always about improvement. And, you know, and there's a cost to that. So corporate America, if you're listening out there, you know, your support financially, your support by employees having some flex time to maybe come and get involved and maybe teach a class, you know, specialized class. And you know, there's all kind of ways. You know, but I, you know, but the hardcore side of this is dollars and cents. It's needed.
Yeah.
You know, especially with all the major budget cuts.
Okay. Now, if anybody needs, or those now that are saying, yes, I can make a difference, how do they get in touch with you or to the website?
They can go online to our website at www.gomeca, which is MECA.org. And that's www.gomeca.org. And just to let everybody know, you've been hearing the acronym MECA, which I want to dispel that it's not a third world, you know, MECA, what I want to say here, Muslim.
Right.
It's, MECA is short for Micro Enterprise Charter Academy.
Right.
Yes.
All right. And we've got another question, another one that was emailed in. Again, we thank you for that. This one says, last year, my niece and nephew, ages 12 and 15, were accepted into a charter school near Venice Beach, California. I understand that each child is evaluated and put on a learning track, depending on their talent. Depending on their talent, learning ability, and skill levels. This school does not have a traditional grading system. Is this how your system works? And if so, do you accomplish SAT testing, and how does it affect college applications?
Good question. As I said before, charter schools have the ability to be innovative in design. And sometimes we get so caught up on ABCs that we miss the fact of, are the kids really learning? Yes, it does transpire into, if it's college preparatory, that does translate for SATs. So it's just a matter of how the school sets up the design of that model and how that then coincides with SATs, entry for college. And so my question would be, is that school a college preparatory school? Because then they would be in alignment with the AG, A to G requirements and everything that's needed for your UCs and your local colleges.
Okay, so that one sounds, so that's a charter school. Obviously, if they're 12 and 15 years old, that's a charter school that goes throughout graduating high school.
The high school, yes.
Right, and at this point in time, MECA is dealing with what age groups again, or what grades?
We're dealing right now. We are in middle school, mm-hmm. 6th, 7th, and 8th. And our goal is we just had our promotion, our first promotion of 8th grade going 9th grade. So right now we are actually petitioning for our high school, 9, 12, and our elementary, K-5. And for those who may not understand the process, this is kind of the political process of charter schools. To have a charter school, you come up with this great idea and concept. Then you have to present that formally to the local school district. The local school district then goes through the process. They go through your application. They scrutinize it to the highest level. And even because, you know, it's about efficiency. And either they will accept it or deny it. And if it's denied, then you appeal at the next level, which is the County Office of Education.
Right.
And normally, most of the time, they rubber stamp the local. And then if you're denied at that level, then you go to the state. And then, you know, you deal directly with the state of the Department of Education. So for our middle school, we actually went through the process and we got approved at the state level, which I'd say the highest level that there is. But we had to go through the process of the local, county, and then state. A lot of work. Mm-hmm. It took 5 years from the start to open. But now we're actually appealing. We're taking our petitions to the local school district, and we're up for mid-July. we have our board meeting with the local school district, and they're going to either accept it or deny our application based on the merits of what we've done or what the petition is.
So this is a petition for high school?
High school and elementary.
And elementary. Okay, now what would happen if they said yes?
Well, come September, we will have our first ninth grade class, which will be our eighth graders who were promoted.
Right. So, but at this point, although you're petitioning for K to 12, you're only wanting to roll into ninth grade, and then each year you will roll into another.
Yes. We'll matriculate one grade level each year by design, because what will happen, we will have a promoting class each year.
Perfect.
And then we'll take us up. And then the other part, going the other direction, we will start with the approval. We'll start with a fourth and fifth grade that eventually then starts to feed into the middle school, and eventually we'll go down one grade level each year till finally we get to kindergarten. So then we'd have in four years, we'd have a full K-12. And the reason behind that, a lot of kids, if we're looking at, they're coming to school deficient in grade sets, and they're behind. We have some kids that are 3 and 4 grade levels behind. So to want to do innovation and get innovative, sometimes when you're dealing with basic remedial, it's great to want to do all this advanced programming, but if you don't have the basic core skills, it makes it very difficult.
Well, I like the idea of you're growing one grade at a time, and you're doing it by taking your own kids and moving them up. So it shows a level of consistency for them.
Yes.
So they're working within the same environment, the same structure. And I think that's going to reap huge benefits.
Yes, I believe it is. And the other part of that is when you have parental involvement, you know, the parents are just pushing. It's, you know, what's going on with the high school? Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? I'm like, I'm working on it. It's political. I'm working. I'm doing my best.
Well, knowing what you know now, would you start a charter school again?
Oh, boy. Yeah. My flesh would say I would not. But my heart would go, yes, I would do it again, because it's a need. It's based on a need. It's not based on popularity. It's not based on, you know, wow, look what you're doing, Marvin. It's based on there's a need. There's a real need out there, and we're spending more money putting kids in jail. I see, in working with you over the years, seeing kids go to some of these behavioral programs, mm-hmm. And they can't afford it, you know, so. And those are expensive. Now, the kids who can't afford those programs end up going to the other program, which is called youth jail.
Yeah.
You know, and we spend, I mean, if you look at the numbers, it makes no sense. We'll spend $50,000 to $60,000 a year, keep a kid incarcerated, and we only want to give $5,000 a year to educate them.
Right. And actually, I think that's a great point to bring up. And we're down to about 2 minutes. So I just want to say that I think so that parents out there understand is that if your child goes to a charter school, they're not having to pay for that. It is still a public school, and the public school is just going to divert funds based on your child to that school. Is that right?
That is true.
Okay.
The funds follow the child. So it is, charter schools are free.
Right. And I think that's a great point, because, again, I told you when I was talking to people about it, telling them, they're asking me, who's going to be your guest? What are you talking about? And so I would tell them, and they, again, they thought it was private school, meaning that they would have to pay for it. One thought it was continuation. So,
yes.
Yeah. So,
which is so true, Alan, which is so true. And even with that, looking at what you get per child from state and federal, if we're really looking at education at its best, that we need supplemented funding.
Right.
You know.
To do it right.
To do it right. And we can get it done, but we need that supplement. I mean, to take field trips. I mean, if we're looking at education, expand beyond the walls. And those are resources.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, again, I can't believe that we're almost out of time.
That went by fast.
It went by really fast. And again, you know, for more information in regarding the Mecca School, or again, the Micro Enterprise Charter Academy. For more information, where do they need to go?
They can go to our website at www.gomecca.org. And once they go to the website, too, they can follow us by Twitter, YouTube. What's the other?
Facebook.
There we go. I'm going blank here. Yeah, you can follow us on all the social networks. as well as the actual number to the school is area code 562-630-6096. Once again, that's area code 562-630-6096. And one thing maybe we didn't share, we are in North Long Beach.
Okay, again, so you got that. They're in North Long Beach. I have been there. I have toured this school. It is a great school. These are kids that have bright eyes. They're enjoying learning, and I don't see that in the public schools all the time.
I just want to say one thing, Alan, which is a testament to what we're doing. When you called me and you made a comment about, I have one of my sons that I'm looking for a place for him to be, and there's only two places I can think of, this other school and Mecca. I'd really like to see my, because I know what you guys are doing there. And to me, that was a testament to what we're doing. And I have to say, unfortunately, you didn't bring him to school because it was just a little bit too far. But if it would have been localized, if you'd have been closer, I know that your son would have been right there at our school.
Absolutely. And again, that's one of the reasons why we need more people involved. We need you to vote when it's time to vote, to get the people in there that are going to make the right decisions, that are going to allow our schools to become more innovative. As we want our children to be.
And I just got to say, in closing for me, I got to give my wife, Carla, a lot of credit, because from her task, and she's as a co-founder and the executive, she's at the administrative director, there's a lot of work. There's a lot that goes on. So kudos to her.
Yeah, and I know Carla, and I wish we had more time, because we could tell you a lot more about the wonderful things she's doing. Again, thank you, Marvin. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're out of time now, but remember, seek to catch someone doing something good every day. We're out of here.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.